I'll do the reading here today. I got to write my New Living Translation. Paul will be preaching out of the New American Standard, which is your pew Bible if you need one. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Jesus Christ. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all your eloquent words and with all your knowledge. This confirms what I have told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from shame on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ's return. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
As you know, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And it's a great day. It's a day we have to be able to gather and thank the Lord in a special way for all the good things that he's done for us. But as you think about this whole area of Thanksgiving, let me ask you, is Thanksgiving something we give to God only because things are going just right for us? Or is it bigger than that? One of my favorite stories comes from the life of a famous commentator named Matthew Henry. There was a day when he was robbed by some men, and it was a very difficult experience for him, as you can imagine. And when he came home, he had time to think, and that evening he opened his diary and he wrote these familiar words to some of you. He said, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Thankfulness. Even in perhaps one of the most difficult days of his entire life, Matthew Henry found a reason to thank God. Thanksgiving has to be bigger than just thanking God when everything goes our way. Thanking God has to be bigger than even our relationships with other people, with other Christians. We certainly see that illustrated by the Apostle Paul in the passage we're looking at today. He's writing a letter to the Corinthian church, the believers there in the city of Corinth. And they had a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, most of the letter will address those problems. And it even took a second letter to keep addressing their problems. Corinth was known as the most troubled church in the pages of the New Testament. And yet Paul does not begin by pointing out all of their problems. Do you know where he begins? By giving thanks. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4, it begins that way. He says, "I thank my God always concerning you." He didn't just give thanks on a certain occasion. It says he did it always. This was a regular thing. When the Corinthians came to mind, thanksgiving came to mind. And it wasn't because they were always behaving themselves, because they weren't. How can we respond with thankful hearts like that, no matter how people around us are behaving, no matter how other Christians are behaving? We find out in this passage. We can give thanks for other believers by focusing on three things according to this section of Scripture. First of all, by focusing on God's faithfulness in their past. Notice the focus is on God. God's faithfulness in their past. And that's where Paul begins. Verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. All things that took place in the past. Here Paul uses the Greek aorist tense, which means completed action in the past. And so he thanked them for things like verse 4, the grace of God which has been given you in Christ Jesus. He realized that God's undeserved favor had been given to them in Christ, and he thanked God for that. And what did that grace look like? Verse 5, that in everything you were enriched in him, or made wealthy in him. He says, in everything, you've been fully enriched in Christ, and I thank God for that. He says, in all speech and all knowledge. Speech is outward expression. Knowledge is inward understanding. They'd been enriched in those things. They had a great foundation. They had a lot of things going for them. There were still some things they needed to know, but foundationally, they got it. They knew it, and they could even speak it. Some of Paul's other writings encourage us in this area. Sometimes I think we forget how wonderfully we have been gifted by God. The wonderful blessings he's given to us. Sometimes we forget that in the lives of other people as well. We forget what a thorough job God has done when he does a work in a person's heart. When they come to faith in Christ, everything changes. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not just some spiritual blessings, but every blessing that we need. Everyone. Do you believe that? Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that about your brothers and sisters in Christ? It will affect your thankfulness. How about Colossians 2:10? And in him, Christ, you have been made complete. There's nothing left that you need foundationally from God. Nothing. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God has given us everything we need spiritually. That happens at the moment we trust Christ. That is an amazing, wonderful gift from God. You know, maybe you've met people. I know that I have. I've met some people who they come to faith in Christ, they get saved from their sin, and they're so excited about that. But after a period of a few months, they start to get restless, like there must be something more. So they go looking for this experience, or they hear about this kind of experience, and so they try to have that kind of experience. And they need to come back to the basics and realize, I'm complete in Christ. I've been given everything I need. And we need to understand that as we look around us at other Christians. Just think about all the Christians. If you look around this gathering here today in this auditorium, you see lots of other Christians. Just take a moment to think about what that means. Everyone in this room who's a believer in Jesus Christ has been given everything they need in Christ. They are complete. Do you believe that about your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you do, it will affect the way you give thanks to God. Verse 5 says that in everything you were enriched in him, and in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. The message of the gospel had been heard by the Corinthians. Paul himself had gone to that city to preach the gospel. They had embraced the gospel. They'd understood the testimony of Jesus Christ, and it had taken deep root in their heart. It had made a difference. They had been wonderfully saved through faith in Christ. The word confirmed was a legal term that referred to the guarantee that settles a transaction. The testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. It was settled. They were saved eternally, and that was a settled deal. And that's true of every believer. That's true of the believers you've had conflict with. That's true of the believers you get along with. That's true of you. It's a wonderful thing to think about. You see, true thanksgiving is never rooted in people. True thanksgiving to God can only be rooted in the one who cannot fail. People fail all the time. I will fail you, you will fail me. If you base your thankfulness on our lack of failing, forget it. It's not going to happen. But thanksgiving is based on God. Thanksgiving is rooted in His faithfulness. That's what verse 9 says, again, addressing the past. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's an amazing statement. Verse 4 begins with the grace of God. Verse 9 talks about the faithfulness of God that surrounds this whole discussion. That's why we keep giving thanks, even in spite of people who sometimes disappoint us. Just like the Corinthians, I think, in many ways disappointed the Apostle Paul. And yet he begins with that attitude of thanksgiving. So when other believers disappoint you and frustrate you, you ever run into believers like that? Let's be honest, you ever run into believers like that who disappoint you and frustrate you? We all run into people like that because we're human, we fail. But you know, no matter what they have done, no matter what has happened, you can thank God for the grace of God in their life, can't you? You can thank God that they have everything they need in Christ. You can thank them. You can thank God that the testimony of Christ has been confirmed in them. You can thank God that He has been faithful to them. You can thank God that He has called them into wonderful fellowship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot to give thanks for, even for people who disappoint you. Thanksgiving is God-focused. You can thank God for God's faithfulness to them in the past. But Paul doesn't stop there. He then transitions to the present. Verse 6, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, past. Verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, present. When Paul wrote to them, they had every spiritual gift they needed. That's how God operates. That's how God operates with individuals. That's how He operates with local gatherings of believers, with local churches. Everyone has all the spiritual gifting they need to do exactly what God's called them to do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, look around at this group of people. Look around at us. He's given us every spiritual gift we need, individually and corporately, to do exactly what He's called us to do. Isn't that amazing how God could do that? Now, you may be thinking, Paul, I wish you had some of those gifts that you don't have so you'd be more effective. That's probably true. But I might be thinking the same thing about you. The reality is, the spiritual gifts that God has given are thorough. They're complete. Now, they had every spiritual gift they needed, but that doesn't mean they were handling them right, handling them correctly. In 1 Corinthians 12, he begins addressing that. They were misusing spiritual gifts, and it was causing problems in the local church. But that's not where he starts. That's not where he begins the conversation. That's not where he begins the letter. He begins the letter by saying, you are fully gifted. Isn't that exciting? I thank God for that. And then he goes on, something else related to their present experience. He says in verse 7, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one statement that relates to what the Corinthians were doing. They were excited about one day seeing Jesus face to face. They were looking forward to that day where Jesus Christ will come back to this earth in His power and great glory, and they were looking forward to seeing Jesus. Yeah, they had a lot of hang-ups. Yeah, they had a lot of problems. They were selfish. They were prideful. They were divisive. There were all kinds of problems in the Corinthian church. But Paul says this about them: you can't wait to see Jesus. And you know, most Christians I know are that way. They may struggle in their Christian life. But I tell you, they are looking forward one day to seeing Jesus. Aren't you looking forward to seeing Jesus one day? It's going to be all worth it then. It's going to change everything. And there's a sense of when we see Jesus, sin's going to be left behind. When we're finally in His presence, when we finally go to be with Him, all these struggles, all these issues, all this selfishness, all this garbage that we end up producing and seeing in other people is going to be gone. We're going to see Jesus one day, and the mess is going to be fixed. I tell you what, that's something worth looking forward to. And Paul thanked God for that. He was so thankful that God had brought these believers to that point. Listen, are you thanking God for other believers? Did you come in here today just thanking God for every believer in Jesus Christ that you know? Or did you come in here today just pretty upset with some of them? There's a place for dealing with those kinds of conflicts, but I tell you what, foundationally, you know where it needs to start? It needs to start with the grace of God, and it needs to start with thanking God for what He's done in people's life. Isn't that amazing that people can actually get saved? Isn't it amazing that people can actually change and that they have everything they need in the way of spiritual gifts and the way of the settling of the salvation issue and all of that thing, that they have all the riches in Christ? Isn't that amazing that God has done that for every one of you and me who know Jesus? That's just amazing how God operates. I tell you what, that'll stir up thanksgiving. And if you keep basing your thanksgiving on how people are acting or how circumstances are going, the likelihood is you'll just stop giving thanks because you get so frustrated. Because sometimes life stinks, and sometimes people, you said it, I didn't. Let's face it, that happens sometimes. Even people who love Jesus bug us sometimes. But I want to tell you, I hope when you look at me, you don't thank God just because of some positive qualities you might see in me. I hope you thank God because of the work He's done in me. There's a big difference. And we can give thanks for other believers by focusing on God's faithfulness in the past, by focusing on God's faithfulness in the present, and focusing on God's faithfulness in the future. We see that beginning in verse 7. This gets even better. He says, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, present, now future, who will also conform you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing statement. He says in verse 8, Jesus Christ will confirm you to the end. Confirm, again, is that legal term, guarantees a settled transaction. Their salvation in verse 6, he talked about as being confirmed. That was settled. Now he's saying their future was confirmed. Jesus Christ will confirm you to the end. He will see you through. Every believer in Corinth that he was writing to, he was telling them, Jesus will see you through. You will be fully saved. It's not just something you've done in this life. It's going to affect your eternity. Jesus Christ will see you through to the very end. You will always be His child. You can count on that. You have a great future to look forward to. As a matter of fact, he says, there's a coming day where you will stand before Him blameless. Blameless. Free from accusation. He will confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, they will stand before Jesus Christ in that day, and they will stand there blameless because they're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing statement, because they weren't acting like they were blameless. They were acting like they were full of all kinds of problems, which they were, but Paul doesn't focus on that initially. He'll deal with those issues later. But to begin this letter, he wants them to understand there is a great future. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ one day, having our sins forgiven so thoroughly that we will actually be as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's what justification is, you know. We've been given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, so there is a time where we will stand before Jesus Christ, we will stand before His throne, and we will stand there clothed in His righteousness. And if we can't give thanks to God for that, what can we give thanks to God for? Those are the big issues. Those are the God-focused issues. Those have nothing to do with human performance. They have everything to do with what God has done. And how do we respond to all of these truths? With thanksgiving. To God be the glory, great things He has done. That's the foundation of thanksgiving, of true, biblical, godly thanksgiving. Verse 9 again says it so well, God is faithful. That's what it's all about. Through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Not just a fellowship for this present life, but a fellowship for eternity. There's a lot to give thanks for just found in this passage. Now, think about what we've just studied here. When Paul gave thanks for the Corinthians, did he focus on their failures? No. Because if he'd done that, do you think he'd have given thanks? I think he would have just been frustrated. Why don't you guys get with the program? What's wrong with you guys? There were probably those kinds of emotions coming out of him as he was trying to deal with some of their issues. That's not where he began. He began by genuinely and consistently and regularly giving thanks to God for them because of what God had done. He didn't focus on their failures, he focused on their God. As I mentioned earlier, the only response of the Corinthians at all that's mentioned is the fact that they were awaiting eagerly the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that was only because of God's grace in their life. But the focus is on God the Father. Verse 1, God the Father's grace. Verse 9, God the Father's faithfulness surrounding it. And who is mentioned in every verse in this paragraph? Christ. Verse 4, Christ Jesus. Verse 5, in Him, speaking of Christ. Verse 6, Christ. Verse 7, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's Christ. Why do we give thanks for other people, for other believers? Because of Christ. Because of the faithful work that God the Father, through His grace, has done in other people's life through Jesus Christ. That's phenomenal. That's why we give thanks. That's why the Apostle Paul gave thanks for people who were struggling. That's why we give thanks even for people who are struggling. And when you view other people that way, it will change your whole Thanksgiving. Now, sometimes, I don't know what you do at your Thanksgiving celebration. I hope you have a time where at least you pause and give thanks. I hope you do more than simply pray. I hope you talk about maybe some of the reasons you're thankful. My guess is if you go around the table and you talk about the reasons you're thankful, it will include all these good things that God has done for you, maybe physically or materially or blessings of this and that. And those are very positive things. But have you ever gone around the table and said, I'm thankful for God's grace in your life? I'm thankful for God's faithfulness in your life. I'm thankful that you've been radically changed because you trusted Christ and it's totally, totally changed who you are. Those are the bigger reasons to give thanks, not just for the what we would consider pats on the back that God has given to us. How about the challenges that God has given to us and the fact that we can give thanks even in the midst of that? I love the way Paul begins addressing this problem church with this whole spirit of thanksgiving. He could have focused on so many problems, but he didn't start there. He began by looking through the eyes of grace, not condemnation. Look what God has done. There was a day when Matthew Henry had a really bad day. And he knew that Thanksgiving had to be bigger than how your day goes. And so he wrote that little section we read earlier, giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving has to be bigger than just everything going our way. Paul the Apostle had a really bad experience in many ways dealing with the Corinthian church. There were a lot of problems. We're going to be seeing that in the coming weeks. He could have focused on that, but he didn't. He began by focusing on giving thanks to God for the amazing work that God had done in the lives of his brothers and sisters in Christ. That kind of thanksgiving is the best kind. Because it's not man-focused, it's not circumstance-focused, it is God-focused. And my encouragement to you is to remain God-focused. And maybe you needed to hear that today because you may have walked in here today and, quite frankly, over the last few weeks, perhaps the last few months, perhaps the last year, perhaps longer, life has been pretty rough. And it's been difficult, and you're wondering, how can you really be a thankful person on Thanksgiving Day, let alone the rest of your life? I want to encourage you that Thanksgiving is bigger than your circumstances. Maybe you came in here this morning and you've had some conflict with some other believers in Jesus Christ. Maybe they're family members, maybe they're other people. And in many ways you've been wondering, how in the world can I give thanks on Thanksgiving Day with this kind of tension going on? And I just want to encourage you to remember that Thanksgiving is bigger than people, than how things are going with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It has to be. It has to be bigger than that, because God is bigger than that. And do you know what that means? This Thanksgiving Day, you have to give thanks for me in spite of my failures. But it also means that I need to give thanks for you in spite of your failures. Because the Thanksgiving that we're talking about is not performance-based, humanly speaking. It's God-based. And He did it right. So that when we truly give thanks, we can say this with everything in our hearts, meaning every word we say, we can say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. It doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, You are amazing. In every sense of the word, You are awesome. To take lost sinners and to pour Your grace and faithfulness into our lives through Christ is just so amazing. And we thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for the people gathered here today. I thank You for the grace that has been given to them in Jesus Christ. I thank You that in everything they have been enriched in You as believers. I thank You that the testimony concerning Christ has been confirmed in them, that the gospel took deep root in their hearts. I thank You that they are not lacking in any gift, and that in their hearts they are awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I thank You that You will confirm them to the end, that as believers there is one day they will stand blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're just thankful because, to summarize it all, we state that You are faithful, through whom we were called into fellowship with Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose wonderful name we give thanks and eternal praise. Amen.